Justice Resnick is ill, and she will not be here, obviously, this morning, but she will be participating in the decisions in the cases. She's read the briefs and will watch your argument, and so she'll be participating in, except for the last case. The first case is 05245, City of Reading versus the Public Utilities Commission. Ms. Morrison.
Good morning. May it please the court. I am Sarah Morrison, counsel for the City of Reading. I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal, please.
Watch your time there.
This case is about the right of municipalities to remain autonomous in the control of their streets and roads. What we're dealing with here, and what both the Commission and the Railroad have failed to address, is that the power to fully control municipal streets and roadways is a power of local self-government under the Ohio Constitution. In Syllabus Law, in Perrysburg versus Ridgway, the court held that the power to establish, open, improve, maintain, and repair the public streets within the municipality, including to fully control the use of them, is a power reserved to local self-government. If this means what it says, the legislature cannot delegate to an arm of the state the power to order a municipality to close a municipal street. While neither the Commission nor the Railroad even addressed Perrysburg in their briefs to this court, they are in effect asking this court to reverse or at least modify the Syllabus Law of Perrysburg. They are asking this court to allow the Commission to substitute its judgment for the decision of the City of Reading as to the need for Vory Street to be open to the public. In fact, based on the precedent of Perrysburg and its progeny, 4907.474 violates Article 18, Section 3 of the Ohio Constitution. As this court said in Wooster v. Arbenz, the city owns its streets and trust for its citizens, and accordingly, it has a public duty to keep those streets open for use to the public.
Council, aren't we talking about closing of a grade crossing?
We are, Your Honor, but there is no way to, in effect, close the grade crossing without and also closing Vory Street as well. The City of Reading actually owns Vory Street, and it owns 2nd Street, which lies beneath the rail line. That is subject to an easement for the railroad, but the Reading owns the underlying land in public trust. And what the Commission wants the city to do is to close Vory Street and 2nd Street where they intersect. There's no way to close that crossing without also closing that section of Vory Street.
Aren't there safety problems with this particular grade crossing?
Certainly. There are safety concerns inherent in any grade crossing. And in fact, according to the state's own statistics, this grade crossing in safety terms and ranking falls somewhere in the middle. There are more than 2,000 grade crossings more dangerous than the Vory Street grade crossing. But the issue here is not the safety, and the issue is not closing unsafe grade crossings. 4907.474 does not provide the Commission with the authority to close unsafe grade crossings. The statute purports to give the Commission and the state the authority to determine whether there is a demonstrable need for a crossing in the street over which it crosses in attempted substitution of the judgment of the local municipality.
And isn't that a statewide purpose? I mean, it's a general law that is going to affect more than just one particular community.
Well, Your Honor, two points in response to that. First of all, this court in Froelich v. Cleveland in Billings v. Cleveland Railroad, that streets, municipal streets, are not matters of statewide concern. They are issues of local government. But in addition, while the railroad does want you to believe that this is an issue of safety, the question here is the need for a crossing. And the railroad can take other action short of closing the crossing to address the safety concerns and the police powers which you're referring to, short of closing the municipal roadway. They can put up signs, they can put up lights, they can work with the city as the Rail Development Commission attempted to do and use enticements to try to get the City of Reading to use its power of local self-government to close the roadway. But short of that, the decision to open or close a municipal roadway is a power of local self-government pursuant to Perrysburg, and as such is reserved to the municipality.
Perhaps this case is an example of why you need an independent body to make the decision. I mean, you have the mayor, former mayor, the current police chief, the fire chief, the chief of public works all testify that this grade should be closed. The city says, well, we stopped big trucks from going down it, but in reality that didn't, because you have to keep issuing tickets for big trucks that go down it and get stuck and hung up on the grade crossing. And when all those things exist, the city itself refuses to close the crossing. Doesn't that demonstrate the need for an independent body to overcome perhaps local politics?
Justice, I do not believe so, because the local municipality is in the best position to weigh those issues. Every grade crossing is unsafe. The local municipality is in the best position to weigh the need for the crossing, the business uses of the crossing, the economic use of the street, and in fact, it is a power reserved to local self-government. But I think it's significant here that 4907.474 is not a statute aimed at closing unsafe grade crossings. I urge you to look at the statute without reference to the facts of this case, because what the statute provides for the commission to determine is not whether an unsafe grade crossing should be closed, but whether there is a demonstrable need for a grade crossing. If the commission determines that there is no need for a grade crossing,
looked at that issue here, and there were what, something like 12 crossings within a mile or two, and this had very little traffic compared to the very next crossing. So that issue, if you want to tackle it from that point, this commission looked at that and said there's really not much need for this. There's very few cars that use this. 200 some cars use this in a week.
But under the syllabus law of this court, the need for a street or a roadway in a municipality is a power of local self-government, and as such is reserved to the legislative body that represents and is elected by the people to make those decisions. And in
fact, is your position that even the need for a crossing should be a local issue and the statute is unconstitutional?
Absolutely. Under Perrysburg and Froelich, it is unconstitutional because that is left reserved to the people of the local municipality. And the language of the statute is significant here, and I'd like to quote it. The commission shall issue an order to the legislative authority of the municipal corporation in which the crossing is located, directing it to discontinue the crossing and close it by ordinance. On its face, the General Assembly acknowledges in the statute that the commission cannot close a grade crossing. Only a municipal corporation can do so. But instead, the statute tries to go in the back door by having the commission order the municipality to close the crossing, what it can't get in the front door, which is the commission closing the crossing directly. But even indirectly, the commission cannot close a municipal road or order a road closed. Only the local municipality can, because that is a power reserved to the local self-governments under the Home Rule Amendment. But the commission and the railroad do want to make this case about public safety. They want the court to look at beyond the face of 4907.474 and look at how the statute was applied here, arguing that the end justifies the means because of the safety concerns related to the Vorey Street grade crossing. But I do want to be clear this morning that the city is in no way avoiding the safety concerns that have been raised as to the crossing. What we're arguing is that it is a power of local self-government to determine whether the crossing is so unsafe to outweigh the public need and the use of the road in the municipality. In fact, the city has taken steps to address the safety issues. It's made investigations of the problem. It's limited the use of the road. It's issued citations for violations of those limitations. And on two separate occasions, the city of Reading has considered proposals to close Vorey Street at the request of the state of Ohio. Both times, the city elected to keep the state open, the crossing open, and take other steps to address the safety concerns. Despite these two votes, in the more than 65 years that this road has been in existence, the commission is now attempting to overrule those decisions of the Reading City Council and substitute its own determination that there is no need for the grade crossing. By using 4907.474 to order Reading to close Vorey Street, the commission is in effect telling the city to vacate that portion of Vorey Street, which is city-owned property, which violates Article 18, Section 3 of the Ohio Constitution. As early as 1919 in Froelich v. City of Cleveland, this court stated that the power to maintain and establish the streets resides in the municipality. This statement was followed by syllabus law in Perrysburg that the power to locate, establish, maintain, and fully use the streets is a power of local self-government. No case law since has overturned the syllabus law, and there is no reason to do so now. But the commission wants this court to rule upon the wisdom of keeping the Vorey Street grade crossing open. As this court observed in Perrysburg, The question for this court is not one of municipal policy. It is simply one of municipal power. And the wisdom or unwisdom of that policy is for the municipality's determination. They are accountable to the local voters.
The only issue for us to decide, the legal issue for us to decide, is whether the city or the Public Utilities Commission has the authority to decide whether the grade crossing is closed. Isn't that right?
Right, and as part of that, the grade crossing, Your Honor, is part of the local road. It's crossing both the grade crossing and that portion of the public road. This court is now faced with either affirming or modifying Froelich and Perrysburg. If the court follows the principles of stare decisis, it must find that 4907.474 violates Article 18, Section 3 of the Ohio Constitution. I'd be happy to answer any further questions. Otherwise, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Morrison. Mr. Wright.
Mr. Wright, before you get started, the last statement made by opposing counsel was the need to either modify or overrule Perrysburg versus Ridgeway. Would you respond to that?
Thank you. Yes, Your Honor, I will. The precedent we're talking about deals with city streets. We are not here to quibble with the municipality over with regard to their authority over streets. The commission's order, and we're not asking this court to overturn the Perrysburg decision. The commission's order and the statute in question are narrow and they're singular in purpose. They address public grade crossings, railroad grade crossings. And in this case, the commission made factual findings that this particular crossing was not only unsafe for reasons that have come out in some of the questioning, but also that it was unnecessary, which is precisely the finding that the statute requires. Unnecessary because a flatter profiled crossing is a short block, one block away on a wider street. Access remains as convenient for businesses and residents as it was with the crossing, particular crossing open. I think the correct outcome of this case really does becomes much easier if we look at this case for what it really is. Again, this case is not about closing a public street. It's about traffic control. It's about traffic safety. It's about railroad grade crossing
safety. Well, counsel, specifically, what did the commission ask the city to do?
The commission, after holding the required hearing under the statute, taking all sorts of evidence, which is largely uncontroverted in terms of the factual findings.
What did they ask them to do?
They ultimately asked them to close the crossing.
Well, then how is this case not about closing a street?
Well, I think we need a little context here, Your Honor.
But, I mean, that's the bottom line of what the commission asked the city to do.
And that is exactly what the statute authorizes it to do. The state of Ohio has regulated railroad operations for well over a century. At one point, it was both economic and safety. Now it's primarily safety. It began well before the Home Rule Amendment even took effect. I think we need to understand that a grade crossing is a dual-use area. Its primary purpose is to support rail traffic, which in this case is roughly 15 to 20 trains a day that run through the city. That creates heightened safety concerns. And it's also, I think, significant. The city may own the ground underneath the crossing, but everything about that crossing, the surface, the rail, the ballast, the active warning devices, that is all operated and maintained by the railroad, subject to state supervision. It always has been. And I think that it's no accident that the state of Ohio has been in this business for such a long time. Ohio is one of the largest rail states in the country. As you glean from reading the briefs, there are over 6,000 grade crossings in this state. This is a matter that requires uniformity and consistency of regulation. The commission has a rail division which, with the expertise to address a number of safety concerns,
well, Council,
and it does so on a daily basis.
Council, I think we all understand that rail traffic has to be maintained in a uniform fashion, that there are enormous safety concerns at any at-grade rail crossing. Council for the City has raised a constitutional issue, and it's here. They've raised it, so we have to figure out how we address that.
Article 18, Section 3 is the controlling constitutional provision that we're talking about, obviously. And that provision makes it very clear that local home rule authority must yield to general statutes of the state police power, which we submit, to this court that 4907.474 is. It is a statute that promotes a legitimate statewide goal, rail safety, crossing safety. It's a statute that is part and parcel of a larger effort by the state of Ohio under other statutes to regulate grade crossing safety and avoid car-train collisions. It's a statute, unlike other statutes that this court has examined in home rule cases, this statute does not purport to limit or usurp local authority at all. It addresses a matter that has never been the subject of local authority or control, grade crossing safety. And again, it does so in a very minimal fashion. One block away is access for folks up there. We have access that is every bit as convenient as before. I think, to flip your question around just a little bit, what happens if we do, if the court finds the statute unconstitutional and would reverse? I think that we would find ourselves effectively thousands of grade crossings within this state would be removed from state oversight simply because they're located within a municipality. I think at best there would be a great deal of confusion and uncertainty as to what role, if any, the state would still play in this process.
It might not be that extreme, but if we rule in the city's favor, it probably means no more closings of grade crossings, unless there are just, the occasion of a horrible accident may prompt a closing.
Well, and we would hope that we don't wait, obviously,
right,
for that to happen. But I think what that does is that undermines, it effectively eliminates uniform regulation of a subject matter that needs.
Don't we need to start at the beginning? The Federal Railroad Safety Act says that the federal government, Department of Transportation, preempts. There's a preemption, is there not, of safety, the consideration of safety at railroad crossings? And then there's an exception which says that the state may adopt or continue enforce regulation order and so forth. There's no mention of a local government having the authority to adopt an ordinance or to affect railroad safety. Is there under the federal law that preempts the area, the field? Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So we have to decide then whether the local government principles under our Constitution, Article 8, whether we somehow have to match those up or make those consistent with the federal act, which preempts the whole issue.
Well, Your Honor, the federal act does not preempt state safety regulation in a number of areas. It certainly were preempted from economic regulation of railroads. The states.
Well, let me read. Laws, regulations, orders related to railroad safety, this is from the act.
Right.
Shall be nationally uniform to the extent practicable. And then a state may adopt or continue enforce the law, regulation, prescribes a regulation, so forth, may continue enforce additional more stringent laws and so forth.
Correct.
That sounds like preemption to me.
There are,
with an exception.
There are preemption in certain areas.
Well, we're talking about railroad safety. The statute I'm reading from says railroad safety. Do you disagree that there's a preemption?
I certainly don't disagree that the state
has... It helps your argument to say that you do agree there's a preemption,
I agree that a number of areas have been preempted, and I also agree that state regulation is what is accepted under what you just read, under the federal act.
Okay.
And again, I would underscore the uniformity that it seeks to create in regulation is exactly what we're trying to do here.
And the federal act doesn't, it says a state. It does not say a local government.
That is correct.
Have this exception may continue to regulate. So my question is, how do we, there's a conflict here, it seems to me. Your strongest legal point is the federal preemption, which gives an exception to the states, but not to local government. And so what do we do with that? They're saying what local government has this authority that's been recognized by our Constitution, recognized by our many court opinions. How do we make those mesh, or don't they mesh?
2 points. The case law that they're citing does not stand for the proposition that the city has any authority over grade crossing safety. It deals with city streets. I think more to the point, the analysis this court has employed when we've had a conflict is to, first of all, that you try to harmonize the authority if you can. In this particular instance, I think whether you classify the local authority that's being exercised, and in this case, I would argue that there's none. But whether you characterize it as a matter of local self-government under the Constitution or as a local police power, the result is the same. The analysis that the court employs is to look at the statute. Does the state statute, does it serve a legitimate statewide function, which again, we would argue that it does. Is it tailored in such a way so as to achieve that function? I think clearly the answer to that is yes. Is it minimally intrusive on any, is the impact on local affairs minimal? Again, the answer is yes. We have alternative access one block away. And finally, is the state statute an overt attempt to simply usurp or limit local authority? And we would submit that the answer to that is a resounding no, since it addresses matters that local authorities have never addressed. The statute is a general statute of the police power. It affects a legitimate state interest. And that statute, we would submit, is constitutional. And the commission's decision should be affirmed. And if there are no other questions, I would yield the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Mr. Aveni.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Carl Aveni, on behalf of Intervenor Indiana and Ohio Railroad. I would echo Mr. Wright's point that it has always been true that a legitimate exercise of a municipality's home rule, even a truly legitimate exercise of the home rule, is subordinate to the state's general exercise of its police power. And there is really no area that this is more necessarily so than in the instances of rail safety. A train traveling from Ironton on a regular run up to Toledo will run through hundreds of municipalities. And if this court accepts the proposition that there should be no centralized state authority to regulate each of those hundreds of rail crossings, you will be essentially asking the engineers operating that train to stop at each city limit and make sure that they're acting within the compliance of the law. That clearly cannot be the law of the state of Ohio. And in fact, it has not been. This court has repeatedly said, most recently in the city of Springdale versus CSX Transportation, that the state's authority to regulate railroad crossings does not end at municipal boundaries.
What's the purpose of involving the city at all then?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What's the purpose of involving the city at all then? Why involve them? If it's a purely state function, if the state agency responsible, in this case the Public Utilities Commission, determines a grade crossing should be eliminated, they just eliminate it.
Well, Your Honor, that's correct. There is no obligation within the statute or, frankly, anywhere else that the municipality have a role to play, unless, of course, they seek to weigh in. Now, the public...
But, counsel, if the repercussion of closing the grade crossing is the closure of a street, that's when the municipality has to act through its legislature to respond to the, your argument, statewide order interest being facilitated on the local level.
That's correct, and I apologize. I had understood the question from Mr. Justice Pfeiffer to be directed more towards the decision-making process and the municipality's involvement in the decision-making process. They have the option, and as it was exercised in this case, to be directly involved by intervening and putting on evidence. But it needs, from a standpoint of uniformity, from a standpoint of expertise, from a standpoint of coherence, to be ultimately a decision made by the Public Utilities Commission. Now, on behalf of the railroads, I will say that often the Public Utilities Commission rules against us. Obviously we're not crazy about that. But the alternative is that the railroad would need to, each railroad would need to go to each and every one of the municipalities in this state and try and convince them that this crossing was unsafe. If you look at the crossing at issue in this case, as was previously noted, every safety official in the city of Reading recognized that this was an unsafe crossing, yet they were not able to do anything about it. If there's ever an instance that requires an independent state body with expertise, I can't think of a more compelling case. I see that my time is up. Unless the court would like me to entertain any further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Vane.
Thank you.
Ms. Morrison, you saved about almost 5 minutes of your time.
Ms. Morrison, is this an attack on the statute on its face or as applied?
It is an attack on the statute as to the constitutionality, both on its face and as applied. Under Cleveland Gear, a challenge as to a facial constitutionality can be raised in the Supreme Court. Also under Cleveland Gear, a challenge as applied must be raised in administrative proceeding in time to give notice and an opportunity for the other side to introduce facts to address the constitutionality issues. As we addressed in our reply brief, the city did address the raise a question as to the constitutionality both in the post-hearing brief and in the application for rehearing. And in fact, in re-reviewing for today's argument as part of the public record, the city also actually first raised the question of constitutionality in August of 2002 in comments to the staff report. And that was more than a year before the public hearing and more than a year before the evidentiary hearing. So the railroad and the commission had ample opportunity to get into the record any facts they believed were necessary for the as-applied analysis.
What weight do we give the Federal Railroad Safety Act in determining whether the statute is unconstitutional? Any?
I did want to address your question, Chief Justice, because we are certainly not arguing that railroad safety and crossing safety should be removed from state or federal oversight. There's a difference, though, between regulating the safety and working with safety and completely closing the grade crossing. The state can regulate safety without interfering with the power of local self-government, and I think that's the issue here today. For example, the state can work on safety issues by putting additional lights, additional warning signals, anything short of closing the crossing.
So it becomes a discretion issue then. Your argument is that the Public Utilities Commission did not require something less than, which it could have, something less than the complete closing of the crossing.
Yes, Mr. Chief Justice, that the commission has ample authority short of closing the crossing.
But, counsel, if you argue that, you are agreeing that this is an area that is reserved to the state, the safety of the railroad industry, and your argument, as the chief observed here, is they went too far. And as a result, they involved the closure of a street, and that's where it conflicts. And that's where you say that the home rule allows for exclusive authority vested with the city.
Your Honor, I think if that's what you think I said, I may have misstated it, and let me please be clear, because what I'm saying is that the commission in the state does have the authority under its police powers to regulate the safety. However, when the commission goes so far as to close the grade crossing and close the underlying street under Perrysburg, the closure, opening, maintenance of a public street is a power of local self-government. And under North Olmsted, a power of local self-government is not limited by the police powers of the state. And it's also significant here, even if you assume that their argument is true, that this 4907.474 is a police power, it is not a general law because the statute itself directly usurps and tells the city how to do its business. The statute itself has the commission ordering the municipality to close a public roadway. That is a direct intrusion on the powers of the municipality.
When you say close a public roadway, you really aren't closing the road. You're allowing the road to be fully used up to the crossing on either sides. You're just closing the ability to cross over the hump that exists in this grade crossing.
You're closing a portion of the roadway, yes.
But it's a portion that is controlled by the railroad, is it not?
It is a portion of the road, Your Honor, that is owned by the city, subject to an easement of the railroad. And that easement is subject to the ownership of the city.
But the rest of the road is open and accessible to everybody on the street, correct?
The rest of the road would remain open, but that road, the portion that's been vacated by the commission or attempted to be vacated by the commission, is closed to traffic. So there is no effective way for the city to maintain that portion of the public road that it holds in public trust for the public use, because the commission is attempting to remove that from the city's power of local self-government. And I think it is significant here that, with all due respect to the commission, the railroad, they still have not addressed Perrysburg and still have not explained how this is not a power of local self-government. And based on that precedent, this court must find that 4907.474 is unconstitutional.
Well, but there are a lot of state statutes where we've had, this court has had number of opportunities to decide whether a law is a general law or not, and there are consequences. When a court holds that a law is a general law and therefore applies to city authority, there are consequences. It seems to me here, if we declare this statute unconstitutional on its face, what are we left with?
You're left
because one
with
city because one city complains that they can't get across a railroad crossing. We leave the safety issues with every other railroad crossing to whom?
Your Honor, what you're left with is the commission continues to have and maintains its authority to regulate safety in terms of signalization, speed limits issues, crossing guards, crossing warnings. And the state also has the authority and the ability, which is something I know we're all familiar with, to use carrots and to entice the municipalities to close a grade crossing if the state believes it's not safe.
What if there is
the determination is ultimately that of the municipality.
What if there is a crossing that is so dangerous and the Public Utilities Commission has ordered every kind of device to be installed and still it's dangerous? There are accidents, whatever, people killed or whatever. Who has the authority? No one, they don't have the authority.
The municipality, Your Honor, has the authority. In that instance, I would certainly hope that the state
even
can
though
use
the federal
to
statute
entice.
The federal statute preempts that decision, does it not?
The federal statute preempts in terms of regulating the safety, not closing the public roads.
But what if closing it is the only, is everybody's opinion is closing it, closing the crossing is the only way to prevent further accidents at the crossing?
In such an instance, then the state and the federal government both have the authority to entice the city to close it by using federal funds and carrots and other processes to convince the city that the safety issues outweigh the need for the street in the municipality. Because that, again, is a power reserved to local self-government.
Do I correctly understand your position that because the roadway crosses the railroad, the city somehow has the right to determine whether it ought to close that crossing or not?
Correct, Your Honor. The city owns both Vorey Street and 2nd Street underneath the rail line, and
yes,
it holds that property in public trust.
Yes.
And under the decisions of this court, the city has the obligation and the duty to maintain those streets for public use.
So in follow-up to the chief's question then, the logical extension of your argument is every municipality which has a grade crossing within it would have the ultimate determination as to whether it would or would not close a railroad grade crossing.
Yes, if the grade crossing is going over a municipal road. There certainly are exceptions, and I believe they referred to the CSX case, which involved a public highway, a state highway.
Yes.
Certainly state highways are different. They're treated differently. They're not a local municipal road for purposes of Perrysburg. But in that instance, the municipality makes the ultimate determination and balances the issues of the need, the safety, the concerns of the public.
I just want to make sure I understand what you're arguing. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Counsel, your one of your last points was if there was a sufficient enticement to allow the city, in the eyes of the city, then they would agree to the crossing being closed in that portion then of the street.
Yes, Your Honor, I'm saying that that is an option available to the state of Ohio in addition to and over and above adding additional signage, crossbars, lights. That would be an additional option that the state does have to close crossings that they believe, again, there's no demonstrable need. And that's what 4907.474 requires. And I think it's very significant. The statute does not require or give the commission the authority to close unsafe grade crossings. It gives the commission the authority to usurp the decision of the municipality as to whether there's a demonstrable need for the grade crossing, and that's the statute at issue here.
Thank you, Ms. Morrison.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.